Years ago when I was in high school, we were given lockers to put our books and our various equipment in, and those lockers lined the halls of the schoolhouse. You perhaps can reminisce on something similar. And every year I'd go to a particular establishment and I would buy a combination lock. And I'd memorize that combination. 25 to the right, go through twice and go to 11, come back once to 6, pull, and the combination lock opened. And that's the way I secured my locker, with that combination lock. Now, 25 to the right twice, all the way around once to 11, and then halfway to 25, 11, 6. What would happen if I went around twice to 32 and then around once to 11 and half to 6? Would the combination lock open? Okay. Now let's say I went around twice to 25 and then I went around twice to 11 and then halfway to 6. Would the combination lock open? No. Well, let's say that I went around twice to 25 and went around one full time to 11 and then once more all the way around to 11, to 6. Would it have opened? No. Twice to 25, around once full time to 11, halfway to 6, it opens. And you know, through similar experience, it had to be done the same way every single time for the combination to open. Am I right? I could not be off one digit, 26, 24, 12, 10, 5, 7. I couldn't go around too many times to the right or too many times to the left or too many times again to the right. It had to be just exactly the way the combination required for the combination lock to open. Am I right? Okay. Now I want you to keep that in mind, and I want to paint another word picture in your mind. Ian and I had not moved back to Huntingdon too long until I received word of a couple in town that were interested in the Lord. Well, man, I wanted to make a visit. And so I went to visit, and I wasn't sure of the address. And so I pulled off, and sure enough, here's this house way up on the hill. Now, in Tennessee, we believe in large yards. 5 acres, 2 acres. And this was one of those 5 to 10 acre yards. And the house is way up there on the hill, and you got this long driveway, and there's this drainage ditch that you have to cross. Well, it's nighttime, and I cross the drainage ditch, and I'm not certain that I'm at the right location. I wasn't certain I got the right address on the mailbox. And so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to back up and make sure I did look at the right address before I drive all the way up there to this strange house. And so I began to back up my little 1993 Ranger pickup, and I back up across the drainage ditch bridge and right off into the drainage ditch. And these people are standing up there looking out their window. Here's this individual coming to visit. And all they see is lights have come, stopped, and begun to back up. And now the lights are sticking straight up looking at the moon. Okay? What am I going to do? Well, I got out, and I mean, it's November. It's cold. And these fellas drive by in a pickup, and they see my dilemma. And they stop. Can we help? And they reach into the back of their pickup and they get this huge logger chain. You ever seen a logger chain? I mean, the links are like so. And they're as big as 2 or 3 of your fingers put together. Sounds like an ice cream truck. And they attached that logger chain to the back axle of my pickup and to their pickup. And why, they just drug me right out of that drainage ditch. I told them thank you. And I drove up and introduced myself as the preacher of the Huntington Church of Christ. Set up a Bible study. Visited with those folks over several weeks. I don't know if they did so out of an interest in the Lord or out of pity for this poor preacher that didn't know how to drive backwards. I want you to think about that big old logger chain. And it is wrapped around your ankle. And it is locked tight with a combination lock. And on the other end of the logger chain is a huge ball. The ball and chain. And that ball represents your past. And everywhere you walk, you drag the weight of that past. Shackled by a logger chain to your ankles. You can't go anywhere without being dragged down by your past. You can't go anywhere unless someone sees you and identifies you as the one with a logger chain around his ankle pulling a ball representing your past. They can't think of you as your past. And ladies and gentlemen, that is something that we have all had to face. That's a picture that represents everyone in this auditorium. Tonight, I'm going to give you the combination that will allow you to unlock the combination lock, remove the logger chain from your ankle, and literally walk away from the ball and chain that represents your sordid past. I'm going to give you the combination that will grant you the freedom of forgiveness. There is a word in the Bible that is translated with a word we do not use that frequently. The word that's English that we do not use that frequently is the word remission. I would dare say that if you weren't reading your Bible often, where you come to the word remission, as in remission of sins, you probably wouldn't be using that word very frequently, remission. Actually, the word translated remission is this term, A-P-H-E-S-I-S, aphesis. And it means freedom. It means liberty. In verb form, to be freed. In verb form, to be liberated from. Now tonight, this is what we're going to do. We're going to turn to a book in the New Testament where we read the word aphesis many times over. And as we see this word translated remission, or it's translated another way, forgiveness, we're going to see the Holy Spirit Himself give us the combination to unlock the bolt that is attaching our past to us and dragging us down. We're going to let the Holy Spirit Himself give us the combination that will grant us freedom from our past. Let me ask you, would the Holy Spirit know what it takes for you to be free from your sin? Would the Holy Spirit know how to do that? Well, let's let the Holy Spirit tell us how to be freed from your past. Turn with me in your New Testaments to the book of Acts. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Now here's what we'll do. We're going to turn through the book of Acts and look at the word translated remission or forgiveness, aphesis, as it occurs repeatedly. Only we're going to do so in reverse. We're not going to start at the beginning of Acts. We're going to start toward the end of Acts and look at the words as they occur in the book, but we're going to look at them in reverse order. Here's why we're going to do that. Years ago, when I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, for 11 years almost, I taught a Wednesday night Bible class with one of the smartest human beings I have ever known in life. His name was Earl Dennis. Earl at one time was the academic dean of then David Lipscomb College, now David Lipscomb University. He has a terminus degree in mathematics, taught math there at David Lipscomb University for decades. And he and I and an award-winning educator for Metro School System in Nashville, a man named Carl Ross, taught a Wednesday night Bible class together at 5:15. It was a panel. We did that for almost a decade. Earl Dennis taught me a little trick on reading the Bible. He said, "I like to read the Bible backwards." I said, "What?" He said, "I'd like to turn to a chapter and go to the last verse and read the last verse and then the last verse and the next to the last verse and then the last verse, next to the last verse, next to the next to the last verse, and I read it backwards." And he said, "It's amazing what you see that you don't see otherwise." Well, I tried that. It was remarkable what I had been missing. And so I love to read the Bible and at times study concepts as set forth in a Bible verse and look at them in reverse order. It is incredible what we see. That's what we'll do tonight. Here's this ball and chain representing your past. You drag it everywhere. It's locked to your ankle by a combination lock. Now, let's let the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, as the word aphesis, freedom, liberty, forgiveness is found, and look at it as it occurs, reading in reverse order. The first time looking at the book of Acts in reverse order that we come to the word aphesis is in Acts 26. In Acts 26, beginning with verse 17, we find Jesus giving Saul his commission to be a missionary and an apostle among the Gentiles. Jesus said to Saul, as he reflects back on his conversion and commission, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people," Jesus said to Saul, "as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Now watch this. "The Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Now the word that is translated forgiveness, as in forgiveness of sins, New King James Version, is the word aphesis, translated remission elsewhere in the book. Maybe you have a translation that says remission of sins in Acts 26, verse 18. So here Saul, whom we better know as Paul, was commissioned by Jesus to go into a world full of heathen people. No connection with God whatsoever. And he was to share a message with them that would turn them from the darkness of hedonism to the light of purity. That would turn them from the power of Satan in their heathenism to a monotheistic faith in the one God. That they may receive freedom from their sins, their past, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I find in that passage the concept of liberty from sin directly attached to an ultimate inheritance among those that are sanctified. An inheritance? That reminds me of what Peter wrote. The Apostle Peter tells us that we have been begotten again unto a living hope, unto an inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, fading not away, reserved in heaven for you, an inheritance reserved in heaven. In Acts 26, verse 18, the concept of being liberated from my past is directly attached with the assurance of going to heaven. And I just wanted us to start with that passage tonight to lay the groundwork and say, we're not only talking about being freed from our past, we're talking about being granted a wonderful destiny for our future when we're talking about remission of sins. Are you ready for the combination? Well, if we turn backwards through the book of Acts, we come to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we find the word aphesis, or remission of sins, once again. We come to Acts chapter 13, verse 38, and we couple it with verse 39. The Apostle Paul is preaching to people in a city that is called Antioch. It says in verse 38, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man," he's talking about Jesus, "that through this man is preached to you the," my translation says, "forgiveness of sins." You see that? In verse 38, maybe your translation says remission of sins. The word that is translated is liberty, freedom, aphesis. Through this man is preached to you the freedom from sins, liberty from your past. And by him, everyone who believes is just if I'd never sinned, justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In this passage, I'm reading about being free from my past sins, being just if I'd never sinned. Verse 38, Jesus makes that possible. But look at verse 39, and if you see if there's anything that I need to do, can you see if there's anything I need to do to be freed from my past? Do you see any responsibility on my part in verse 39? What is it? Believe. Believe. Jesus Christ makes forgiveness, freedom, liberty, remission of sins possible, verse 38, and it is made possible to those who believe and thus have the blessing of being just if I'd never sinned. The combination, twice to the right to 25, once all the way around to 11, halfway to 6. Now, I can't start with 11. I can't go backwards and start with 6 and then 11 and then 25. I've got to do the combination just right. Am I correct? Okay. Now, right here I learned that to be justified, never sinned, to be freed from the logger chain and ball representing my past, I must believe, verse 39, in the one who makes freedom from sins possible, verse 38, Jesus. I must believe in Jesus to be freed from my past. Isn't that remarkable? You mean if I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I can be freed from my past? Absolutely. And that's all there is to it, right? That's all you have to do is just believe, right? Not any more than turning twice to 25 and stopping there will open the combination. You have to keep going. You see, John chapter 1, verse 12, comments on this idea of believing in Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 12, reference is made to those who believe. Those who believe in His name. The name Jesus, as the Son of God. And John 1, verse 12 says, as many as received Him, that is, to the extent of believing in His name, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. You see, faith gives me the right to proceed with what it takes to be freed from my past. But that's where it starts. Believing in Jesus as the one who, as God's Son, makes freedom from sin possible. That's where it all starts. I ask at this point, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? If you do, you have the right given to you by God to proceed in doing what it takes to be free from your past. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Looking for the word remission or forgiveness in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, we find another preacher of the gospel preaching to individuals that were from a non-Jewish past. This man's name was Peter, one of the Lord's apostles. And he had made his way to Caesarea to the house of a man named Cornelius. Now, if you were to pause for a moment and look at the first verse of Acts 10, Cornelius is identified as a centurion. In the Roman imperial guard, you had segments of soldiers. You would have a century, and that would be 100 soldiers. You would have a cohort or a regiment, and that would be 6 centuries or 600 soldiers. You would have a legion. That would be 6,000 soldiers. Well, Cornelius was over 100 soldiers of the Roman Imperial Guard. Inside the cohort or the regiment or the 600 soldiers known as the Italians. Verse 2 says, he was a devout man. The word translated devout means take well. His morals had taken well. He must have been raised rightly. He was one who feared God. He was a God-fearer. In Bible times, individuals were either Jews or Gentiles, non-Jews, or Gentiles, non-Jews who had become Jews, proselytes. They did that by going through a catechism, by accepting Judaism, by engaging in being circumcised, and then by being immersed to become a proselyte Jew. There were Jews, Gentiles, proselyte Jews, and then Gentiles who had not become proselyte Jews yet, but were leaning in that direction, and they were called God-fearers. So it was with Cornelius. He was a man whose morals had taken well. He was a man who was leaning toward Judaism, to the monotheism of the Old Testament teachings, and doing so with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people. He was a giver, and he prayed to God always. He believed in prayer. Good man. An angel came to him and told him to send for Peter, and it'd be told him what he must do. He sends for Peter. Peter comes. And in verse 34, the Apostle Peter begins to preach to Cornelius and to those that are in the house of Cornelius. He preaches a sermon about Jesus, verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And that's the point that Peter was making to Cornelius. Jesus is not only Lord of the Jews, He's Lord of everybody, even you Gentiles. You need to submit to Him as Master as well. Now what I want you to do is drop down to verse 43, because that's the verse that houses our term of interest tonight. Peter says to Cornelius and those listening, to Him, Jesus, all the prophets witness that through His name, Jesus' name, whoever does what? Believes in Him will receive what? Remission of sins, aphesis, liberty, freedom, forgiveness of sins. Whoever believes in Him will receive the forgiveness of his sins. So you see, all you have to do is just be baptized. Just believe, right? What it says. But while Peter was still speaking, you see, Peter wasn't through yet. He hadn't put a period there. All you have to do is believe. He wasn't through yet. While he was still speaking, while he was still talking to Cornelius and those present about what they needed to do, the Spirit fell upon these people. They began to speak tongues and magnify God, verse 46. It was a miracle. Opening up the gospel to the Gentile world previously shut to them. And so verses 47 and 48, after this miraculous event transpires, Peter gets to talk again. And he says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, that is, just as we did on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2? And he did what? Commanded. Why? He commanded them to do what? Be baptized. Why? If all you have to do is believe to be freed from your past, if all you have to do is believe to know the forgiveness of your sins, well then, Peter, why would you command these people to be baptized? You see? Believe is just the first digit in the combination lock. It's the first thing that needs to be done. And so he tells these people, whoever believes will have the forgiveness of sins. You have to start right there, because starting right there is what John 1:12 gives you the right to proceed in doing what it takes to become God's child, forgiven of your past. You have to start with faith. Now, I find that in Acts 13, and I find that in Acts 10. More on this, he commanded them to be baptized in just a minute. But right now, I learn that believing in Jesus is essential for me to be forgiven from my past. And I also learn that it's not all there is. So turn with me now to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I have learned that aphesis, forgiveness, remission of sins, is equivalent to knowing, having the assurance of going to heaven. I have learned that to have this assurance, being freed from my past, I must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the secret to my being forgiven. I've also learned that belief in Jesus is not all that's necessary. So I need to keep looking for this word, remission. I now come to Acts chapter 5. And in Acts chapter 5, I find that same preacher that we read about in Acts 10. His name's Peter. And Peter is preaching or speaking to a group of men in Acts 5 that were Jewish leaders. They were called the Sanhedrin. Hedron, sitting. San, soon together. Sanhedrin, soon Hedron, the together sitting ones. The Sanhedrin were a group of Jews that consisted of 71 Jewish leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, high priests, and they would sit together and they formulated law for the Jewish people. They were the Jewish Supreme Court. They would pass laws on a civil basis. They would pass laws on a religious basis. And it's this together sitting group of 71 Jews to whom Peter is preaching or speaking in Acts 5. They're chastising Peter for preaching about Jesus. And Peter says this in Acts 5 verse 31. Him, Jesus, God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior. To give, what does your Bible say? Repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Guess what? Forgiveness translates that word aphesis, remission. Freedom, liberty. To give repentance to Israel and freedom of sins. And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. The Holy Spirit given to those who obey. Obey how? Obey doing what? How about repentance so that you can have freedom from your past. I learn in this passage that if I want to be freed from the ball and chain of my past, my sins, I must repent. The word is metanoeo. Repent. Noeo. Think. Meta. In the midst. Think in the midst of where you are. Make an about face is the implication. The word translated repent literally means change the way you think. That means to be freed from my past, I must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, which grants me the right to continue doing what it takes to become God's child. And with that faith in Jesus as the Son of God moving me, I come to change the way I think about my life. Ladies and gentlemen, that was said to a group of people that were already extremely religious. About a group of people that already in times past had had a connection with God, Israel. To Israel and to the Sanhedrin overseeing and governing Israel, the Holy Spirit through Peter said, folks, you have to change the way you think to be liberated from your past. You see, just being religious isn't good enough. Brother Dan, I've been a member of this denomination for decades. Brother Dan, I've had a faith in Jesus as God's Son and Messiah rather than Muhammad for, well, I guess all of my life. It's not enough just to be religious or just to go to church. These people were very religious, and yet they were told they had to change the way they thought. and thus lived, despite their religious past and their religious heritage. You see, to be forgiven of your past sometimes means you have to change churches. To be forgiven of your past sometimes means you have to turn from everything you've known and even believed deeply in your past religion. That's what the Holy Spirit said through Peter on this occasion. Now, if I'm going to unlock that combination, it's twice to what number? 25. You're listening. And then you go left all the way around to what number? 11. And then halfway to number 6. Okay, good, good. Now, can I skip number 25? No. But can I skip number 11? I mean, it's the middle number. Can I just go from 25 to 6 and kind of just, you know, get the ends? Can I just do that? Will the combination lock unlock if I miss the middle number? No, it will not. I have to put it in there too and get right to it on the dot. To be forgiven of my past and thus have the assurance of going to heaven, I must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, twice to the right to 25. And I must change the way I think and start thinking the way the Bible teaches and only the way the Bible teaches. Around once to 11. And I can't skip that if I want the combination lock to open. Still with me? Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, where the word aphasis is found for the last time, looking in the book of Acts in reverse order. In Acts chapter 2, we find this same preacher, Peter, preaching again. And he preaches about forgiveness. You see, Peter only had one sermon. He preached about forgiveness everywhere he went. That's a pretty good subject matter, would you not say? In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." When they heard what? Hold your finger there, keep your place, and go backwards all the way to Acts 2, verse 21. Here the Apostle Peter is quoting from the Old Testament book of Joel, chapter 2. And he uses the phraseology from Joel, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He uses those words from the Old Testament as a springboard for the sermon that he's about to preach. And he preaches a sermon about Jesus. I want you to look in your Bibles. Verse 22, it says, "Men of Israel, hear these words." He's getting everybody's attention. It would be like Peter being here and saying, "It's so wonderful for us to be here tonight, brethren and friends. I'm glad that you've made it to our meeting this evening. And now for our lesson of the evening." And he starts. Well, he got everybody's attention. "Men of Israel, hear these words." Having captured their attention, what is the first word of his sermon? Jesus. Now drop down to verse 36 and let me read to you the New King James Version. Listen for the last word of his sermon. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The first word of his sermon is Jesus. The last word of his sermon is Christ. And between the first and last word, that's what he's talking about. Jesus is the Christ. He talks about the confirmation of Jesus by the miracles that God gave him, verse 22. He talks about the crucifixion of Jesus by the Jews through the hands of the lawless Romans, verse 23. He talks about the resurrection of Jesus by the power of God Himself, verses 24 through 32. And he talks about the exaltation of Jesus, being at the right hand of God and sending the Holy Spirit so that what the people had seen and heard manifested the fact that he had been exalted to God's right hand. What had they seen? Tongues of fire over the heads of the apostles. What had they heard? The sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind and the apostles speaking in languages they'd never studied, evidencing the fact that Jesus was sitting at the right hand of God, exalted as Lord and Christ. And thus, his divine inspired conclusion, God made this Jesus Lord and Christ. Now take that back to verse 21. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus of Nazareth was made that Lord by God. He identifies Jesus as the Lord. The one who was to be believed in as the one God sent to be the Messiah. Now verse 37 says, when they heard this, the fact that Jesus has been made Lord, they were cut to the heart. Katanuso. Nuso, stab. Kata, down. They were stabbed down to the heart. It's as if Jehovah God with the sword of the Spirit pierced through the cloud bank above and cut to the very core of their being with the message, Jesus of Nazareth is the Lord on whose name you are to call. He was made that by God Himself. Boy, they were stabbed down to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Men, apostles who were men. Brethren, that is, fellow Jews. What shall we do? How do we call on His name to be saved by Him as Lord? Then Peter said to them, repent. I love the American Standard Version of 1901. It's a little clearer and more accurate. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, aphesis, freedom, liberty, forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The word repent, metanoeo, change the way you think. In this verse, it is in something called the imperative mood, meaning it is a command. What shall we do? And Peter replies, or the Holy Spirit through Peter replies, wrong question. It's not what shall you do, it's what must you do. You are commanded to change the way you think. Repent. And be baptized. Baptizo. Be immersed. Be baptized is in the imperative mood as well. It is a command in the passage. What shall we do? No. Let me tell you what you must do. You must change the way you think. And you must be immersed. Baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is Lord. Well, how do we call on His name? You must change the way you think, and you must be baptized, calling on His name in that process. And you must do it for this reason. I have wonderful friends back home. I'm telling you, they are wonderful friends. And they think that you ought to repent and be baptized because you have already been saved. And they think that it's you believe in Jesus and you're saved, and by the way, then you can be baptized to express your faith. But that's not what the Holy Spirit through Peter said. He said, you must change the way you think, and you must be immersed in water in order to obtain for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, who needs to do that? Every one of you. Now, let's see. I have learned by watching that word remission, forgiveness, freedom, liberty. I can be liberated from the ball and chain of my past, which is equivalent to my having the assurance of going to heaven. But for that to take place, I must believe that Jesus Christ is the one that God has sent His Son to save me. And that faith must move me to change the way I think, even if it means change from an immoral life, or change from a moral life, or change from a religious life. I am to change the way I think to where I only think what the Bible says, even if it's not what I've been taught all my life. I change to what only the Bible says. And by that same faith, I am to be immersed, baptized, in order to obtain freedom from my past. Let me see here. Twice to the right to 25, and the combination will open. Correct? Right or wrong? Twice to the right to 25, once to the left all the way around to 11, and the combination will open. Right? Wrong. Twice to the right to 25, once to the left to 11, halfway over to the number, what was it? Six. And then what's going to happen? You mean just two digits won't work? Has to be the three digits, right? It has to be in that order, right? It has to be just the way the combination specified, right? If we get that with something as inconsequential as a combination lock, ladies and gentlemen, why can we not accept that simple teaching when it comes to being loosed from our past? When you come to believe in Jesus as God's Son and your Savior, you have the right to proceed in your obedience to become God's child. And with that faith as a dynamic moving you, you choose to think only what you see in the Bible and nothing more or less. And because of that, you submit to being immersed in water for the expressed purpose of being freed from your past, the forgiveness of your sins. 25 to the right, 11 to the left, 6 halfway to the right. The combination opens. Believe, repent, and be baptized, and the ball and chain is removed from your ankle, and you walk away free from everything you did and everything you were yesterday. Can I get an amen on that one? Now, I sit down with a bank executive and I sign the proper documents for a lockbox. You know what a lockbox is? Okay. And when I sit down and I write down, I put my name on the papers, and I would put my wife's name on the papers. I'm not going to put Dan Jenkins' name on. I put Dan on there, but not Dan Jenkins. He's a crook. Wait a minute. This is going over the internet, isn't it? Retraction. He's not either, and you know that. I'm just teasing. So I put my name on the document, and I put Diane's name on the document. I may put one of my sons or both of my sons' names on the document. So to get into that lockbox, you have to have the authority. Am I correct? Your name has to be on the document. Then, once I've signed the document, and my wife has, and others that are authorized to get in, after they've signed the document, now I'm given a key, right? And the bank has a key, right? Okay. And so if I want to get into my lockbox, I come to the bank and I go to one of the executives, to the teller, to whomever she I need. And they go to the records and they see if I am authorized. Well, I see on the documents that you are authorized, Mr. Winkler, to get into this lockbox. Do you have your key? I have my key. And so together we go into this room of lockboxes, and I put my key in the lockbox and turn it. And what happens? It doesn't open, does it? Then the bank executive puts his or her key into the lockbox and turns it. And then, with both keys turned, the lockbox opens and I'm able to pull out all of the treasures therein. Right? But I have to be authorized to use my key before the bank executive will use his or her key before I can get into the lockbox. Now, see where we're going? To be freed from my past and enjoy all of the treasures of God's grace, I must be authorized. John 1:12 says, those who believe, He gives the right, another way to translate that is, the authority to become children of God. I don't become a child of God when I believe. I'm given the authority to become. So, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and my potential Savior. And because of that faith, my name's on the document. I have the authority to continue. Then, with faith, I take my key called repentance. This is something I have to do. I change the way I think. So I take my key called repentance and I stick it in the keyhole. And then the Lord Jesus takes His key and sticks it in the other keyhole when I am immersed by someone for the remission of my sins. The keys are turned, the box is opened, and because I was authorized, and because I repented, and because I was baptized, I'm freed from my past, and everything the grace of God can mean to a man is now mine. Can I get a hallelujah on that one? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you changed the way you think to think only what the Bible says? Have you allowed someone to immerse you in water for the purpose of being forgiven of your sins? You're going to obey God. You have to do what God says the way God says do it. Have you been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you really, really know and have a right to all that the grace of God offers? You can. You can. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, you qualify to continue to change the way you think, repent. And right now, tonight, this screen will be removed. I assume that it has just something that you can... Does it have a key that turns it up, makes it go up? This screen will be removed. And no longer will you read freedom of forgiveness. The screen will be removed, and right behind this, the lights will be turned on. There's water back there. It's a baptistry for baptizing. On one side, there are clothes for men. On another side, clothes for women. Gentlemen will follow you if you're a man. Ladies will follow you if you're a woman and give you all the privacy necessary for you to change into clothes that have been provided for you. And because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to change the way you think, to think only what the Bible says, Brother Dan or Brother David, whomever, will step down into this water with you. And upon your confession that you believe that Jesus is God's Son, they will immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And then, ladies and gentlemen, those words that are on the screen will be emboldened on your record in heaven. Free! Because of forgiveness. You can have it even right now if you'll come as we stand together and sing.